The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness of the worries of this life, and that the day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. It will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
How many of you had heard that about this painting? Anyone? I hadn't either. You can leave that up if you want, Eric. There you go. Well, on Friday, Eric and I went to see a movie, and we saw the movie Green Book. If you haven't seen that, I highly recommend it. It was an excellent, excellent movie. But before the movie, there was a whole string of previews. And it seems like more and more that when these previews are running, in about two and a half minutes of a movie trailer, you get the whole movie. You know who the main characters are, you know the beginning, you know the middle, and you know how it ends. That struck me in a couple of the previews, at least unless they're really tricking us. But how many of you like that? Do you want to know when you see a movie kind of how it's going to go in trailer? Anybody like that? A couple of you do. Do you read the last chapter of a book, too? Okay. Okay. I have a friend who does that, and she says, I always read the last chapter first, because if it doesn't make me want to read the rest of the book, I don't want to waste my time. So, anyway, today is the first day of a new church year. So, happy new year to you. And our church year begins with the season of Advent, and we know that Advent is the time to prepare our hearts to receive Christ. At least that's what we believe, right? So why are we reading these strange gospel lesson for today? Why do we in the church begin not with the birth of Christ, but we begin with the end? While everybody else is decking their halls with twinkling Christmas lights and singing happy Christmas tunes, we're talking about the end times. We hear an apocalyptic end time prophecy that is kind of confusing because we don't exactly understand what it means. What do you feel when you hear these words of Jesus? Well, how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? What was that? Glad that I have Jesus' promises. Right? Because these words can sound very fearful, almost foreboding. Words of judgment and cosmic signs. You know, are these words beautiful and hopeful? It's kind of like this picture. You know, for me, those words of Jesus are not always like this. And maybe I need to work on that because I love this painting. And if this is how that is, then maybe I need to work on that a little bit. But these words of Jesus unsettle me. And I think that they should unsettle us. Because we live in a world that is truly unsettling. We live in a world of mixed up priorities and values. As people of faith, we can't settle into those values of the world. We cannot settle into a world where truth doesn't always triumph, where justice is not always adjudicated. There we go. Where right does not always reign, where grace is not always given, where compassion is not always considered, where mercy is not always manifest. Can't settle into a world where lies linger, where greed just grows, where the powerful plunder, where wrong wins and fear festers. That is not the world God created. And we need to be unsettled. Jesus shakes us up from complacency, breaks us free from that chokehold that the values and priorities of this world put on us. Jesus' words remind us of who God is, of who we are as people of faith, and what we are about. He reminds us that we indeed have our beginnings and our endings and all of life in between in God. We begin our preparation for Christmas by being shaken up, by being unsettled. Unsettled enough to remember that Christmas is not just about presents. It's not just about even creating wonderful family memories. Or it's not even just about the sweet baby Jesus in the manger. Christmas is about more than that. It's about celebrating that our God won't stop at anything to break into this world. Our God is a God, Emmanuel. The God who is with us, who comes again and again and again. Yes, as the baby, sweet baby Jesus in the manger. As a Christ who reigns over all of heaven and earth. God comes again and again and again. And sometimes we need to be unsettled so we can see that. Because God doesn't always come in the ways that we expect. We need to be alert. We need to watch and listen and pay attention. Today, Jesus reminds us that there's more going on in this world than what meets the eye. God is present, and God is at work, even when it doesn't seem like that is so. Theodore Wardlaw from the Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Austin, Texas, writes a story, and he says, "Years ago, I knew of a prominent African-American pastor who served a large and powerful church in Harlem, just above 125th Street in New York City. From its Gothic spire, one could see just about anything one wanted to see, or to put it more accurately, one could see just about everything one would not want to see. Blocks of burned-out buildings, shabby little pawn shops, boarded-up storefronts, and roach-infested grocery stores, in the shadows of which prostitutes and crack dealers plied their trades. Many churches had given up and moved elsewhere, but that church just continued to hang in there, keeping watch, staying alert, as if every moment mattered. They organized a locally owned bank so the neighborhood could have a bank. They set up latchkey programs for their children. They put together neighborhood redevelopment agencies. They set up Bible studies in high rises. They conducted successful boycotts against price gouging corporations. But still, it was Harlem. A newspaper reporter once interviewed the pastor. "Sure," he said, as he framed one question, "you are doing great stuff, but it's hard to see what difference any of that is making. What enables you and your people to keep going?" The pastor said, "We've read the Bible, and we know how it ends. We aren't at the end yet." And he went on, "But we know how it ends, and that's what makes the difference." We begin our church year at the end because we know that makes a difference. We know that as we live in this in-between strange time that is sometimes hard to interpret, we know the ending too. And that makes all the difference. The truth of God's goodness and God's grace gives us hope. And that hope makes all the difference. It gives us meaning and purpose. It gives us direction. It gives us a mission and a ministry. So today, Jesus encourages us to dare to open our eyes, to dare to open our ears, to dare to open our hands, to dare to open our hearts, and expect that God is here. And perhaps God is even here through people like you and me. And don't ever underestimate what a difference the power of God's presence makes. Amen.